Today's daf is Psachim Daf Gimel, and we have four lines from the bottom of Daf Beis Amid Beis Meisave. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Yitzchak ben Krena, and Tzadik Hersh ben Krena. Today's daf is also being learned Leilu Nishmas Avram ben Yibadu L'Chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So yesterday, Be'ezras Hashem, we began a new Masechta, Masechtas Psachim. The first Mishnah, Masechtas Psachim, discusses the halachos of Bedikas Chametz. The opening line, Or Larba Asar, Boitkin Es HaChametz La'or Haner. One thing is clear, that Bedikas Chametz had to be done on the 14th day of Nisan. The 14th day of Nisan, which of course is Erev Pesach. However, the Mishnah didn't simply say Bar Ba Asar Boitkin Es HaChametz. The Mishnah said Or Lar Ba Asar Boitkin Es HaChametz. What part of Arba Asar are you supposed to do Bedikas Chametz? It's the time of day that's called Or. And the Gemara began with the obvious question, my Or. Is our Yoim? Is our Laila? Is it the morning? Is it the afternoon? Is it Bein Hashmashes? What exactly is our? The Gemara said it's a Machloikis Amirah. Rav Huna said, our means Nagi. Light, meaning it's when it's daytime. Rav Yehuda said, our means Leili. It means night, when it's nighttime. The Gemara said, Kasol Kadaitoch, Demand Amar Nagi, Nagi Mamish. Umand Amar Leili, Leili Mamish. And from there, the Gemara went on to ask Kashas on both Shittos, from Pasuk after Pasuk after Pasuk, from Mishnah, from Braisa, etc., etc., to try to prove from other objective sources what the definition of the word R is. Does the word R mean daytime, or does the word R mean nighttime? Either way, we're in the midst of that discussion, and we pick it up four lines from the bottom of Daf Beis Amid Beis. So the beginning of today's daf is very much going to be a smorgasbord of halachos, just a little bit of a digression of ideas, because what we're focusing on is trying to find a proof as to what the definition of the word R is. Says the Gemara Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah, Mesechtis, Rosh Hashanah. The context over there is, once upon a time, it became Rosh Chodesh, not based on what the calendar said, but based on when Beis Din determined that it should be Rosh Chodesh. Beis Din, once upon a time, was Mekadesh the Chodesh al Pi Re'iyah, which meant that two Edim would have to walk into Beis Din, tell Beis Din that they saw the new moon. Beis Din accepted their testimony, and they would declare the month being Kaddish. The problem is, there were people that lived far away from Beis Din in Yerushalayim. They had no idea when Beis Din was Mekabel Edus. Word of mouth was going to take way too long for it to arrive to them. And how are they supposed to know that it was Rosh Chodesh? Now, why do they have to know it was Rosh Chodesh? Obviously, you want to know when it's Rosh Chodesh. But more importantly, you have to know when it's Yontif, because Yontif is based on the day of the month. And if you don't know when Rosh Chodesh is, so you're not going to know when it's Yudal Nisan. You're not going to know when it's Tesfav Nisan. You're not going to know when it's Yud Tishrei, so that you should be able to fast on Yom Kippur. So Beis Din had to come up with an idea to spread the word. This is pre-social media, pre-modern means of communication. So what they would do is the Eve of Rosh Chodesh, they would go and climb on top of a mountain, they would wave torches, and there was a system of mountains and torches, so like this, people would be able to see from far away, and they would know exactly when it's Rosh Chodesh. So the Mishnah is discussing that halacha. When exactly did they go on top of the mountain and wave these lights so that the people far away from Yerushalayim would know when it's Rosh Chodesh? They would do it la'or iburai. What does that mean? It means the night of the 31st day of the month. So Rosh Chodesh could be either the 30th day of the month or the 31st day of the month, because the month itself could be made up of either 29 days or 30 days. So what they would do is, in the event that Rosh Chodesh was on the 30th day, then that night, as if Matzoi Rosh Chodesh, the eve of the 31st day, that's when they would wave these lights. They would only do it if Rosh Chodesh was on the 30th day. If Rosh Chodesh was on the 31st day, they didn't do it. Because by process of elimination, if they didn't wave the lights the night of the 31st, so you knew the 31st day was going to be Rosh Chodesh. So the 30th day, if it was Rosh Chodesh, that evening is when they would wave the candles. But again, we don't need all this technicality. We just need one thing. What did they do? They waved these candles le'or iburoi, the night of the 31st. So what do you see from it? Amar urtu. So you see, or means laila. Shema mina. So the Gemara meisfei. I'll bring you another ray. Hoyo emit kala laila. The discussion over here is the kohen. Kohen was doing the avodah the whole night in the Beis Hamikdash. He was burning the emurim. There weren't a lot of avodahs that were done at night. So he was doing one of the avodahs that you could have done at night in the Beis Hamikdash. U'makriv al mizbeach le'oro. The next morning, ta'un kiddush yedayim v'raglayim. He has to go to the kiyar, and he has to wash his hands and his feet from the water of the kiyar. So before the kohen did the avoid, he had to go to the mikvah. But not only did he have to go to the mikvah, he had to go to the kiyar, and he had to be mekadesh. He had to sanctify his hands. He had to sanctify his feet. Now, what does the pasuk say? A kohen's doing the avoid the whole night. Now, lo'ira, in the morning, he has to do kiddush yedayim v'raglayim. Divrei Rebbe. So what do you see from here? Oira means day. Sok the Gemara, no. Oira shani. There's a difference between or and oira. Or, larba asar. Wherever you find the word or, maybe that means laila. Oira? Oh, that for sure means day. Mesave, another kasha. Marzutra. Marzutra is the one that asked this question. And the context over there is a woman that has a baby becomes tame. How tame is she? It depends if she has a boy, if she has a girl. If she has a boy, she's tame for 7 days. If she has a girl, she's tame for 14 days. Not just that. There's a special halacha of with regards to Yoledes that states that if a woman has a baby, a boy, she's tummy for 7 days, the next 33 days, any dam that she sees, this is Nida 101, is dam toyar. Any dam she sees after day 7 does not make her tummy, it's actually dam that's tahar. We don't observe these halachas anymore. The Gemara Masechtas Nida discusses why. But any dam that a woman would see after day 7 for the next 33 days would be dam tahar. If she has a girl, all the numbers are doubled. So any dam that she sees for the first 14 days is dam tumah. Any dam that she would see 33 times 2 for the next 66 days would be dam tahar. Which means that in totality, a woman that has a girl, she has to cheshbin days of tumah and tahira for 14 plus 66, that's 80 days. What happens after day 80, meaning day 81? She had to bring a carbon. She brings a carbon, and then she becomes tahar. What would be if a woman would have a second baby during the 80 days? Now, she can't give birth to a second healthy child during the 80 days. That's the assumption. But she was mapela. She miscarried a child. If a woman miscarries a child, depending on the state of the child at the time of the miscarriage, it could be that would obligate her to bring another carbon. So the Mishnah is discussing a woman that had a girl. She's going to cheshbin 80 days now. But within the 80 days, she miscarried a second child. Does she have to bring a second carbon for the second child that she had? Or does she not have to bring a carbon for the second child? We say that one carbon is going to work for both. So it says the Mishnah, Mapeles, or Lushmoin of Echad. If she was Mapeles, the or of the 81st day, Bishamay Poitrim of Carbon, Bishamay says she doesn't have to bring another carbon. She could be Yoitz with the first carbon. Bisul, and Bisul says, Mechayvin, no, she would have to bring another carbon. Meaning, it's cleared from this discussion that if she would have this second child, she would miscarry the child during the 80 days, she for sure wouldn't have to bring another carbon. If she would miscarry the child on the 81st day, she for sure would have to bring a new carbon. The question is, what if she miscarried or l'shmoinen ve'echad? That's where this discussion is. So Beis Shammai said, you don't have to bring another carbon. Beis Hillel said, you do have to bring another carbon. Sokta Gemara, Amalom Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel told Beis Shammai, Maishna or shmoinen ve'echad, miyoyim shmoinen ve'echad. What's the difference between the or of the 81st day and the yoyim of the 81st day? Im shivaloy l'tumah l'yishvaloy l'carbon. If the night or the R of the 81st day is the same as the Yoim of the 81st day as it relates to her Tumah status, any Dam that she sees now is going to be Dam Tumi, not Dam Tar. So why shouldn't it be the same as it relates to the carbon status? Why don't we say that if she was Mapeles on the R of 81, it's the same as if she was Mapeles on the day of 81, and she should have to bring another carbon. But again, we don't need the 80 and the 81, we're just trying to take one point out. Midukama Bisul Bishamay Maishna R Shmoin of Echad, Mi Yoim Shmoin of Echad. What's Bisul saying? What's the difference between the R of 81 and the day of 81? Oh, Shmamina R Urtu. So you see from here that R must be night. Shmamina. If we're contrasting R and Yoim, we know what Yoim is. So by process of elimination, you know what R is. Maisvi, another Kasha. And this is discussing the halal of Kachim Kaum. So we know that not all Kachim was created equally. In fact, Kachim can be divided into two groups. It can be subdivided into more groups. But high level, there's Kachi Kadashim, Kachim Kaum. One of the big differences between Kachi Kadashim and Kachim Kaum is Kachi Kadashim, the meat that was eaten by the Kehanim, not all the meat was eaten, but the part of the carbon that was eaten by the Kehanim was able to be eaten for a day and a night. As opposed to Kachim Kalim, that was eaten, was able to be eaten for a day, a night, and then you had another day. So all karbanos had to be brought during the day. So if a kohen brings a karban on Monday morning, so he's able to eat the kachim kadashim, the whole Monday day, the whole Monday night. What happens Tuesday morning? It's nicer, you have to burn it. If a kohen brought a shlamim, for example, which is kachim kalim, again, Monday morning, you could eat it the whole Monday morning, you could eat it the whole Monday night, and you could eat it the whole Tuesday morning. This brisa is discussing what happens Tuesday night. That's the discussion in this brisa. So, I would think the kachim kalim could be eaten the or of the third night, meaning day, night, day, and then that night, the or, the dinu, and it makes sense, because there's kachim kadashim, which could be eaten for a day and a night. And there's shlomim, which is eaten for 2 days. Just like kachi kadoshim, you get the day and the following night. You would think that by kachim kalin, where you get 2 days, you should get the following night as well. Talmud Loimer, we learn from a pasuk, b'yoyim zevchachem yeyochel umimachras v'hanoyser adayoyim. Ba'oid yoyim hu nechel, ve'enoy nechel or shlishi, b'yoyim zevchachem yeyochel umimachras. The machras, the second day that you're allowed to eat kachim kalin, is only by yoyim. It's the day part of that day. But at night, you're not allowed to. So we clarified that. Kachim kadoshim, it's true, you get the night after the day. Kachim kalim, you don't get the night after the day. You get day, night, day, but that second day doesn't come along with the night. Next question. When you have basar kachim that you didn't eat during the appropriate time, so what do you do with it? It's called noiser. The Torah says, v'hanoiser mimenu ba'boiker be'ech tisrei. You're supposed to burn it. So here's the question. Kachi kadashim, you eat for a day and a night. Monday morning, you brought the carbon. You had the whole Monday to eat it. You had Monday night to eat it. Tuesday morning, you can't eat it anymore. You burn it. Kachim kalim, you brought it Monday morning. You could eat it Monday. You could eat it Monday night. You could even eat it Tuesday. Now it's Tuesday night. Shki, Rabbeinu Tam. What do I do now? Do I burn it at night or do I wait for the next morning to burn it? That's the second part of the brisa. Yochli, sorry for me. Yeah. You would think Tuesday night you can't eat it anymore, so burn it. V'dinu, and it makes sense. Kachim kadashim is eaten for a day and a night. The shlamim, which is kachim kalim, is eaten for 2 days and a night. Malah, I don't take a fachilas reifel. Just like kachim kadashim, as soon as you can't eat it anymore, which is the following morning, you burn it. I can't take a fachilas reifel. So it makes sense that kachim kalim should be the same thing. As soon as you can't eat it anymore, which is Tuesday night, you should go ahead and burn it. This pasuk is talking about burning noisar, and it says bayoy. And we learn from there, if you have to serve it, you burn it during the day, you don't burn it at night. So what do we want from all this? Again, a huge digression here in the beginning of the daf. But we want the most superficial part of this braisa. And that is, when the braisa was discussing, maybe you should be allowed to eat kachim kalim even that last night. What did it describe night as? What was the word used? Or al ma'ar urtahu. You see, or is called night. Shema mina. Isn't this a mafurish raya? That or doesn't mean day. Or means night. Tashma. Another raya. This is a much easier raya. Or shal yoimaki purim. The or of Yom Kippur, mispalol sheva. When you daven Shmoneh Esrei is made up of 7 brachas. So usually Shmoneh Esrei is made up of how many brachas? It's actually a trick question. Shmoneh Esrei, right? 18 brachas. It's wrong. Because v'lamal shinim is the 19th bracha that was instituted years later in Yavne. So it's really 19 brachas. But on Shabbos, we abbreviate the Shmoneh Esrei. You have a lot less brachas. And then on Yontif and Yom Kippur. So every Yontif has its own little halacha in terms of how many brachas the Shmoneh Esrei is made up of. But this brisa is discussing Yom Kippur. So the Or of Yom Kippur, how many brachas is Shmoneh Esrei, quote unquote, made up of? 7. Umisvad, and then you say vidui. That's alchei. Shachris, Yom Kippur in the morning, mispalol sheva. Your Shmoneh Esrei is made up of 7 brachas. Umisvad, you say vidui. Bemusif, mispalol sheva. Umisvad. Bemincha, mispalol sheva. Umisvad. Bearvis, what about Matzah Yom Kippur? We skipped Ne'ilah. But what about Matzah Yom Kippur? Mispalol me'ein Shmoneh Esrei. You don't daven a full Shmoneh Esrei, Matzah Yom Kippur, but rather you daven an abbreviated Shmoneh Esrei. Now we don't do that. What we do is the next sheet. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel loimer mishum avoysav. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel said in the name of his Zaydis. Who were the Zaydis? Reb Chanina ben Gamliel. These were all the Nasiyim, the Reb Gamliels and Hillel Hazaken, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Mispalol Shmoneh Esrei shleimis. No, Matzah Yom Kippur, you daven a regular Shmoneh Esrei. And the reason is because Matzah Yom Kippur is like Matzah Shabbos. You have to say Atochoin Antonu, and if you're going to daven and abbreviate Shmein Esrei, there's going to be nowhere to put Atochoin Antonu. So you have to daven a proper Shmein Esrei. So like this, you'll be able to say Atochoin Antonu. But again, what do we want from this Braisa? We just want one thing from this Braisa. We're going through so many halachas to take out something very, very subtle. And that is, the Braisa was walking through all the Shmein Esreis on Yom Kippur. The night of Kol Nidre, and then you have Shachris, and then you have Musaf, Mincha, we skip Ne'ilah for some reason, and then we jump to Shmoine, to Matzoy Yom Kippur. But how did we describe Leil Kol Nidre? The Laila, the night of Yom Kippur. Or Shal Yom HaKippurim, Alma, Or Urtahu. So you see that Or is Urtah, Shma Mina, that sounds like a good Raya. Tashma, the Tanish, Devei Shmuel, they turn in the Yeshiva of Shmuel. Leile Arba Asa Boit Genes HaChametz. The night of Arba Asa Boit Genes HaChametz La'or HaNer. In Shmuel's Yeshiva, they had a different Gersa that our Mishnah has. And had we had Shmuel's Gersa, we wouldn't have Pesachim Daf Beis. So it's a good thing we have our Gersa. But our Gersa is Or Larba Asa Boit Genes HaChametz La'or HaNer. In Shmuel's Yeshiva, the Gersa was Leile Arba Asar Boit Genes HaChametz La'or HaNer. Zok de Gemara, Alma Or Urtahu. It's pretty clear that Or must be Laila. So what's the bottom line? Or Larba Asa Boit Genes HaChametz. Zok de Gemara, my Or. We know what a candle is. We know what it means. La Yehuda Moisa Oyer V'Simcha. We know what Hashem meant right in the beginning of the Torah when it says Vayehi Or. The question is, well, Or is used as a noun to describe a time of day. Is it the morning? It's the afternoon? It's Nochmittag? Like, when is it exactly? What part of the day is Or? And the Gemara said, it sounds like it was a Machlokes. Rav Huna walked into Beis Medrash. He said, you want to know what Or is? It's Nagi. Nagi means light. That's what it means. Nagi is an Aramaic word. And it means light. Rav Yehuda said lately, it means night. So to Gemara, sounds like we have a machloikis. According to Rav Huna, when do you do b'dikas chametz in the morning? It's according to Rav Yehuda, when do you do b'dikas chametz at night? But the Gemara brought raya after raya after raya, digression after digression after digression. And at the very, very end, what comes out? It's very clear from different Mishnayos that Or means Laila. So to Gemara, if that's the case, how do you understand? How do you understand Rav Huna? And by the way, if you're not sure if Or means Laila, there was even a Braisa. This is really checkmate. Tana Devei Shmuel. Leile Arba Asa Boit Genes HaChametz La'or HaNer. So what did Rav Huna mean when he said Nagi, when he meant light? So the Gemara says like this. Elo Bein Rav Huna Bein Rav Yehuda D'Kuli Amar Urto. You have to say Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda both agree that Or means Laila. The Loi Pligi. And there was really no Machloikis. No Machloikis. Rav Huna said Nagi. Rav Huna said light. Nagi means light. How could you say v'loy pligi? Zok de Gemara, Marki Asrei, Umarki Asrei. They were both using words that in their respective towns, in their respective kehilos, were used to describe night. Ba'asrei de Rav Huna, where Rav Huna lived, Karu Nagi. They used to refer to Laila as Nagi. That's like referring to a Suma. As a Sagi Nahar. Uba Asrei de Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda lived, Karu Leili. They used to refer to night as simply Leili. So when Rav Huna said, Or Lar Ba'asar, you know what Or means? It means Nagi. He didn't mean day. He meant night. Why would he say Nagi? Because in his shtot, they used to refer to Laila as Nagi. But really, he was saying Laila. When Rav Yehuda said Leili, he meant Leili. There's no machlaikis. There's no Shaila. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda were both saying the same thing. Marki Asrei, Umarki Asrei. So what's the bottom line? Or Larba Asar, Boit Genes HaChametz. What does Or Larba Asar mean? It means Laila. And even Rav Huna that said Nagi, it's just because he used to refer to Laila as Nagi. But at the end of the day, there is no Machloikis. Everybody agrees you do B'dikas Chametz at night. But the Gemara asks the obvious question. And that is, V'tana didon, my time like Tani Laili. So at the end of the day, why did the Tana use a word R, which seems to have confused everybody, thrown us for a loop? Just say Laila throughout Shas, wherever you want to talk about night. So what do you say? You say Laila. So how come over here we didn't simply say the word Laila? So the Gemara says, Lishna Ma'alya Nakat. It was done on purpose. And the reason is because the Tana wanted to use a Lishna Ma'alya. He wanted to use a more refined word. Or is more refined than Laila. Clearly, Laila, it's dark, it's Choshech. R really means light, but it's used to describe night. But we'd rather use a Lishna Ma'aliyah, Ukid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And this supports something Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. And the Gemara from here until the end of the daf is going to digress and digress a little bit from its digression, and it's going to be hashtag Agadata. Sok the Gemara. Dover Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Ma'ilam ayoitzi adam davar meguna mipiv. A person should be very careful with what comes out of his mouth. And you shouldn't speak and say something that's nivel peh. That's for sure. But even something that's just not so fine. Shahare ike makos of shmoina oisius. Because the Torah wrote 8 extra letters for loy hoitzi dover meguna mipiv. A B, not to say something extra. Shenemar. Because the pasuk says, Umin habehema hatahoira, umin habehema asher einenu tahoira. What's the context? The context of that pasuk is Parshas Noyach. And in Parshas Noyach, so Noyach brought all the animals into the teva. How many animals? It depended. If it was a behema tmeya, 2. If it was a behema tahoira, so then he brought 7. So there was a distinction between the kosher animals and the non-kosher animals. Now, how does the Torah describe the non-kosher animals? Min ha-behema tahoira, these were the kosher animals. U'min ha-behema asher einenu tahoira, those were the non-kosher animals. So Rabbi Shulman Levi was very bothered. He said, why did the Torah refer to the non-kosher animals as u'min ha-behema asher einenu tahoira? He should have simply said u'min ha-behema ha-tameya. And by the way, had he said min ha-behema ha-tameya, it'd be a lot less letters. How many less letters? It'd be 8 less letters. Because instead of saying umina behema hatemeya, it said umina behema asher einenu tahoira. So if you count the 5 letters of hatemeya, and then you count the letters of asher einenu tahoira, which is 13, 13 minus 5 is 8. So it comes out you have 8 extra letters. So said Rabbi Shulman Levi, you see from here, la'oilon, al yoitzi adam davar meguna mipiv. A person should always be careful with what comes out of his mouth, because you see the Torah used 8 extra letters not to be moitzi a davar meguna mipiv. And what was this davar meguna going to be? It would have said the word tmeya. And that's something that on a subtle level is not so fine. And it's for that reason we learn from there that we're supposed to follow this. Rapapa said teisha. I'll find you a pasuk where the Torah used an extra 9 letters not to say a davar meguna mipiv. Shenema, the pasuk says, ki yibacha yishash lo yitar mikra loilo. The pasuk over there is discussing a person that's tame. Specifically, he's a bal keri. He had a mikra loilo. He's a bal keri. And what does the pasuk say? Ki yibacha ish. Asher lo yietar. Asher lo yietar. Just say that he was tame. Tame is 3 letters. Asher lo yietar is much longer. So if you subtract tame from lo yietar, so what you're going to end up is 9 extra letters. So you see that not only 8 extra letters, as in Parshas Noyach, but if you go later in Devarim, Perech of Gimel, when the Torah is talking about the Valkyri, there the Torah used 9 extra letters. Ravina says, Eser, that in that Pasuk, there's actually 10 extra letters. Because Vav de Tahar, because the word Tahar over there is written Male. It's written Tes Hey Vav Resh. So it's not 9 extra letters, actually 10 extra letters. You find that the Torah, in a different place, used 16 extra letters, so that it shouldn't have to be moitzi adavar miguna mipiv. Shenemar. Where do you see that? The pasuk is describing Shaul HaMelech, who made a big suda because it was Rosh Chodesh. And David HaMelech did not show up at the suda. And Shaul was trying to figure out where David was. So it says, he probably didn't come because he's tamei. Ki amar, Shaul said, mikrehu, bilti taharhu, ki loy tahar. Now, what Shaul could have said was Mikre Tamei, he's Tamei. That's why he didn't come. But what did he say instead? Mikrehu, Bilti Taharhu, Kiloi Tar. So if you take the letters of Mikrehu, Bilti Taharhu, Kiloi Tar, and you subtract from there the letters of Mikre Tamehu, you're going to get 16. So Rav Yaakov said, Torah didn't just add 8 extra words, not just letters, not just 9 extra letters, not just 10 extra letters, but you actually find that the Torah used 16 extra letters, so it shouldn't have to be moitzi adavar miguna mipiv. On that note, zok digmar tanya b'nun to the b'raisa devei Rabbi Yishmael lo ilu misapra adam lashon nikiyo. A person should always be careful, and he should make sure that his speech is refined. Why? Sharei bezov karoi merkav. We know that a zov and a zava, they're unique types of tumah. They're metama tumas mishkov umoishav. What does that mean? Anything that they sit on becomes tame. Anything that they lie on becomes tame. Anything that they ride on becomes tame. Not only does it become tame, it gets a very unique status of tumah. It's an avatumah, a whole nother discussion. But The point is that a zav and a zav is the male, the zav is the female, they're both metama, tumas mishkav u'moishav. So Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva taught that a person should always talk b'lashon nekiyah. And you know where you know it from? Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi learned it from the 8 extra letters, the 9 extra letters, the 10 extra letters, the 16 extra letters. But Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they learned it from a pasuk. Shari b'zav karei merkav. When the Torah describes the tumas mishkav moishav of a zav, it says if a zav is going to be riding on something, then he's going to be metama what he was riding. Ubi isha karei moishav. But when the Torah talks about the woman being metama tumas mishkav moishav, the example that he uses is not a woman riding, but rather a woman sitting. Why? Because for a woman to ride is not tznius. And the reason it's not tznius, Rashi says, is because a woman will have to spread her legs, and that's already not a dover of tznius. And it's for that reason, even though we're dealing with something that's really, she's just riding on something, but still the Torah went out of its way to be refined in its speech. By the man, we mentioned merkav, but by the woman, we simply said moshav. So from there, you see a person should be very careful with the way he talks. Lo'ilam yisaper adam, b'lashon nekiyah v'omer. Another makar to this, they taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. They learned it from a pasuk in Iyov. Iyov said, v'tivchar lashon arumen, that a person should choose the sprach, the speech of the Arumim, of the Chachamim. So you see, the Chachamim have a certain way of talking. What does it mean they have a certain way of talking? They must speak B'lashon Nekiyah. So there's a concept of B'lashon Nekiyah, and then they had even a third source. It says, V'dasifasai barur milelu. A person's fasayim, his lips, they should speak barur. Dvarim berurim. Again, clear speech, but more importantly, Lashon Nekiyah. Zok Yor Maivah Omer. Why did Rabbi Yishmael's yeshiva need three sources and such a simple, basic, elementary idea? We have three makaris. We learned it from the fact that the Torah didn't want to talk about merkav bayo zava, v'tivcha lashon arumim, and then it says v'das fasai barim mileo. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Tema. Had we only had the first pasuk, the nuance between the way the Torah describes the zav and the zava, I would have thought hani mila b'day raisa. Maybe this is only true in psukim in the Torah. Yeah, the Torah, which is kodesh kadoshim, so Rachmana talks that way. Avo b'derabban alai. But who said that the rabbis have to talk that way? Toshma va'omer v'tivcha lashon arumim. You see, arumim, smart people. Not only the Torah, everybody has to be careful with the way they speak. Tema hani mila b'derabbanon. And had we only had the pasuk v'tivcha lashon arumim, I would have thought only things that the Rabbanon talk about. Maybe if someone is talking and learning, so in such a context, he should speak in a refined way. Lashon Arumim is Chachamim that speak Divrei Chachma. Avo b'mili da'alma. But if a person is just schmoozing, he's speaking Sichas Chulin. Loi. Maybe over there not. For that we have another pasuk. It says, V'das sefasai barur milelu. That this is this idea that a person is always supposed to speak barur. V'das sefasai barur milelu. Now what do you see from here? Mili da'alma. So the Marsha says that the word sefasai sounds like it's suggesting like biligus speech. Just regular Sichas Chulin. And even there, barur milelu. So this is the makar that a person is always supposed to speak in a very clear way. Ube isha loiksiv b'merka, but the Gemara comments on Tanit v'Rabbi Shmuel. So Tvei Rabbi Shmuel had three sources. How you know a person's supposed to be Pilashon Nekiyah? What was the first source? Because when the Torah talks about the Zav and the Zava, so the Zav it describes is Mitamim Mishkav u'Mayishav, and but it also mentions Merkav, the Zav that rides on something, he's getting a Mitama whatever it was he was riding on. By the Zav it doesn't say Merkav. Why not? Probably because it's not so fine. Freit the Gemara, Ube isha loiksiv b'merka. It's not true. The Torah doesn't want to talk about a woman that's riding on an animal. Vaksiv. The pasuk says, Vatokam Rivka, Venaroisel, Vatirkafna, Alagmalim. The pasuk says that Rivka was riding on a camel. So it says clearly, we're talking about a woman, Rivka, and it says she's riding. I thought it's not sneers to talk about a woman riding on an animal. So the Gemara says, Hasa Mishum Biasusa Digmalim, or what was the animal that Rivka was riding on? She was riding on a camel. For a woman to sit on a camel, and her legs are both going to be on the same side of the camel, meaning she's not going to be riding on the camel, would be very dangerous because the camel's very tall. And because it's so tall, so she's going to be afraid that she's going to fall off. So the only way a woman will ever ride on a camel is if her legs are spread on the two sides of the camel. As a result, the derech of a woman to ride on a gomel is in that way, albeit this somewhat unsneous way. But being that it's urchehi, that is the derech. So therefore, the Torah didn't have a problem mentioning it. Meaning, the Torah is not going to talk about a woman riding on an animal if it doesn't have to. And the Torah maybe will even be mishana what happened, will alter what happened to speak b'lashon nekiyah if the thing that happened wasn't so tznius. But if What happened was that a woman rode on an animal, and it's the only way the woman would ever ride on it. Even a tzniyastig, a woman like Rivka, would ride the animal that way. So in that event, this is a little bit of a subtlety, the Torah would describe it. There's another passage. So Moshe Rabbeinu took his wife, he took his children, and he rode with them on the chamar. Now this is not a camel, this is a chamar. Chamar is not such a big animal. It's not scary to have both your legs sitting on the same side of the chamar. So why would the Torah say Vayarkivim regarding a woman? So you see that this is not a sensitivity that the Torah has. Mar says Hasamishum Banav Orchu. No, when the pasuk says Vayikach Moshe Ishtev as Banav Vayarkivim, Vayarkivim is not going back on Ishta. It's going back on Banav. His sons are sons. They were boys, and that's what it means Vayarkivim. Baksiv. There's another pasuk. It says Vayihi Recheves Alachamar. The context is Abigail, who was going to plead with David that David shouldn't kill her husband Naval, and it says that she was on a chamar. Vayihi. So he reicheves al chamar. She was riding on a chamar. So there's no banav over here. It's only her, and the Torah clearly describes her riding on a chamar. So the Gemara says a few options for what the teretz to that might be. Hasam number one, mishum biasusa delego urcho. It could be because it was night, and because it was nighttime when this all happened, so she was scared. So being that she was scared, it was the derech. Oh, and it's the derech, then the Torah is going to mention it. Could be something to do with being afraid of night. She was afraid of David. David's the king. So she was nervous. She was anxious. Could be nothing to do with being afraid of David, but she was going up and down mountains, and it was because of the mountains that maybe she was afraid. So we just said this idea that the Torah goes out of its way to speak B'lashon Ma'ayah. Why are we discussing this now? Because we affirm that when it says in the Mishnah, Ur l'arba asar b'itken as hachametz, what does Ur mean? It means Laila. After an amid and a half of, a blad and a half of discussion, we know that Ur means Laila. So the Gemara says, if Ur means Laila, just say Laila. The Teretz is, could Rabbi Shua ben Levi, there's an idea that a person should speak in a refined way. How do you know that? Because you see, the Torah went out of its way to not describe, let's focus on this, the non-kosher animals that entered the teva with noach as being non-kosher. What did it say? Not the behema hatmeya, but rather it referred to it as the behema tahira and the behema asher einena tahira. 8 extra letters, 9 extra letters, 10 extra letters, 16 extra letters. By the Zav it says Merka, by the Zav it just says Moshav, etc., etc. But the bottom line is that you see the Torah didn't want to refer to these animals as being tameh. So why didn't the Torah just say tameh? Asher einenu tahira, that's 8 extra letters. So why didn't we just simply say tameh? So it must be the fact that we didn't say tameh is because the reason is because it's an idea of speaking b'lashon nekiyah. So 8 extra letters abi to speak b'lashon nekiyah. Zakta gemaru. But so it sounds like you're suggesting we don't use the word tameh in the Torah, right? Anytime you have the word tameh should appear, insert, there should be a little hagoyas habach, right? Insert, asher einenu tahira. It's not true. The Torah says the word tameh so many times. It's afraid to Gemara. Is that true? It doesn't say tameh. Elas. The Gemara says you're right. This is what you have to say. A little bit of a chiddush. Kol heich l'chi adadi ninu. If the amount of letters for Lashon Nekiyah versus the not Lashon Nekiyah, meaning Tomei and Tar, if it would be the same amount of letters, Mishtabi Lashon Nekiyah, we would always use the Lashon Nekiyah. Kalecha din afish and mile, wherever saying Tomei or is going to be less letters than saying Tahar, then Mishtabi Lashon Ktsara. We'd rather speak Lashon Ktsara. So if there's a face off between different words that we can use, so there's things we have to take into consideration. Number one, we always want to speak B'lashon Nekiyah. But there's another thing we want to take into consideration, and that is we want to speak B'lashon Ketzara. So, all things being equal, Lashon Nekiyah. But if one is the Lashon Ketzara, we're going to speak the Lashon Ketzara. So, in terms of these two considerations, what's a more important consideration? Lashon Ketzara or Lashon Nekiyah? Lashon Ketzara wins. Fascinating. Lashon Ketzara is more important than Lashon Nekiyah. That's why wherever there's a shail of saying Tameh or Tahar, we say Tameh. Because Tameh versus Einenu Tahar is going to be much less letters, so it's going to be the Lashon Ketzara. If the two would be the same amount of letters, so then you would always use the Lashon Nekiyah. Now, what's the obvious question? What do you mean? I thought we just had 8, 9, 10, 16. That was the whole Lamed Aleph. What does that mean? The Teretz is that once we have this idea, the Torah wanted to reveal to us somewhere that there's a concept of a Lashon Nekiyah. That's what the Torah wanted to do. Once the Torah revealed to us the concept of Lashon Nekiyah, now you can run with it and apply it. But ironically, you can't apply it in the same exact context in which the Torah was megala to us. The Torah said 8 extra letters, 9, 10. That's not true. That's not emes. And that's why throughout the Torah, you're going to find the word Tameh, and it's not going to say Asher Inenu Tahar, because we prefer to use the Lashon Ketzara. What do you mean? In Parashas Noach, that's not what the Torah did. Yeah, because the Torah had to make a point. The Torah needed you to know that the Lashon Nekiyah is more important. So the Torah made its point by throwing in 8 extra letters so that you see there's an idea of speaking B'Lashon Nekiyah. But in terms of what that means for us, Tein L'Chacham V'Yech Gamoy, how do we apply this principle moving forward? Lashon Nekiyah only when all things are equal. But if it's going to be a question of extra letters, then Lashon Ketzara is important. How do you know there's something called Lashon Ketzara? Kid Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, like Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. Ami Lo Som say Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Mishum Rav Meir Lo Oylam Yishna Adam Lo Tamidah B'Derech Ketzara. A person should always teach his Tamidah B'Derech Ketzara. You see, there's an idea of Derech Ketzara. We'll get back to that in the raid. V'Chaleicha says the Gemara D'Chiyadadi Ninu Mishtoy B'Lashon Kavit. So at the end of the day, what you're saying is that if the Lashon that's not so Nekiyah is the shorter Lashon, go with the shorter Lashon. But if they're equal in terms of the amount of letters and words, then you go with the Lashon Nekiyah. Freak the Gemara, and it sounds like we're going backwards here a little bit. Why then did the Torah describe Avigail as writing? Shouldn't it have said Yosheves? And if you count the letters, Resh Vav Chav Vei Sof is 5. Yud Vav Shin Vei Sof is also 5. Rechevis and Yeshevis, same amount of letters. So why do we use the Lashon Nekiyah? Now the Gemara answered this question already. And the Gemara answered this question already. But in light of what we just said, the Gemara is a new Teretz. Rechevis is it. Being that it says Rechevis, and Rechevis is written Chasu without the Vav, so it's actually less letters. Oh, it's less letters, not a Kasha now. Why by Avigail, the Pasuk referred to it as Rechevis, as opposed to Yeshevis, because Rechev is actually a lesser letter. Oh, it's one letter less. So over there, what we're going to do is, we're actually going to speak B'Lashon Nekiyah. Zok Digmar, Hanu Trei Talmidei Davi Yosfi Kamei De'Rav. There were two Talmidei who were sitting in front of Rav. Chadama once said, Shavi Sinan. This Gemara is very interesting. He said, I'm so tired from learning the daf, right? I'm so exhausted. What a hard sugya. This is one of Rav's Talmidei. I feel like a tired Dover Acher. Dover Acher is a pig, is a chazer. He said, I feel like a tired Dover Acher. B'chadamer, the other Talmud said, Shavisin and Haishmaita. He said, today's sugya tired me out. Kigdi misankon. I feel like a tired goat. The one that said that he feels like a tired Dover Acher, Rav didn't want to talk to him. Now, Rav, we know, was a shaskin. He very often didn't talk. But we'll see more about that as well in a moment. But Rav didn't want to talk to that Talmud. On that note, there were two Talmudim sitting in front of the hill. One of them was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Gemara says, a few places that Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. Gadol Shevekulam was Yonis Ben Azil. Katan Shevekulam was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a Talmud of Hillel. Some say, there were two Talmidim that were sitting in front of Rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan, not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Tana, Rabbi Yochanan da Amayra. Who was Rabbi Yochanan da Amayra's Rabbi? Psachim Daf Gimel Amid Beis. Rebbe. Chadama, one says, one of them was saying over the halacha, why is it that boitzrim b'tahayra v'moyskim b'tahayra? That if a person is gathering grapes, so you have to gather grapes using kalim that are tahar. You can't use kalim that are not tahar. But when you're gathering olives, you don't have to be careful to use kalim that are tahar. So his question was, why do you harvest grapes only using utensils that are tahar, but you don't have to harvest olives b'tahayra? The Chadam, the other one said, Mifnei ma boitzrim b'tahayra u'moiskin b'tumah. He said, why is it that when it comes to grapes, tahayra, and when it comes to olives, tumah? So notice, one Talmud used a more refined speech. Why here tahar and there? It doesn't have to be tahar. Like tahayra, v'asher einenu tahar. And the other one said, why here tahayra and here tumah? Amar said, this is what Rebbe said. Muftachani bazeh shemoyrei Rabbi Yisrael. The one that was more refined in his language, he's going to be a moyrei Rabbi Yisrael. He's going to be a big gadol. He became a moyrei Rabbi Yisrael. Again, me'inyan le'inyan ba'isin. Hanu tosek handu with three kehanim. They were all describing the amount of lechem aponim that they got. Chadama once said, lohu, higiani kapul, I got so little. When we divided up to lechem aponim, right, every Shabbos they used to divide the lechem aponim. He said, I got such little lechem aponim, I got the size of a pole, like a bean. Chadama once said, Higiani kizayas, I got a zayas. V'chadam, and the third one said, Higiani kiznav halta, I got the size of the tail of a halta, this creature. But kuacharav, they did a little bit of research. Umatzav Hashem as psul. The one that described the amount of lechem upon him that he got
as the snail of this sheretz. So they looked into him a little bit, and they found out that he had a shemetz psul. What does it sound like? He had bad yichus. Freak the Gemara, how could it be he had bad yichus? But now we learned in the Mishnah. If someone does the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, that means he went through a background search. They must have checked him out perfectly. And if he made it through that security clearance, that means it comes time to do a shidduch. You have nothing to worry about. This person has perfect yichus. Ain't boitkim in a mizbeach l'maylo. Once a person makes it to the mizbeach, you don't have to do any bedikas after that. So the Gemara says, how does it stem with this story? This person was a kohen. How do you know? He's doing the avodah. He's collecting from the lechem upon him. If he's getting lechem upon him, what does it mean, batku achra? Because he used the words navalta, and they found the shemetz psul. I thought once he does the avodah, so at that point, it must be he's good. So the Gemara, loy tema shemetz psul, ele'im shachas psul. No, wrong gersa. They didn't find that he had bad yichas. His yichas was perfect. He came from a shayna yichas. They found that he wasn't a good guy. That's what they found out. They found out that he was a mavaza, a sakachin, and he wasn't worthy of being able to eat from the lechem upon him. Iba yesema, shani hasem di'u da'ara nafshe. It's true, ordinarily, you would assume that a person that's doing the avodah has good yichas, but this person slipped, and as a result, they realized maybe something's not so good. They were boitik the yichus, and they realized they had made a mistake. Yeah, they thought when they did the research initially that it worked out, but apparently they made a mistake in their due diligence. So they had to go back a second time, and they went back the second time. They realized that there was a little bit of a mistake. One last gemara. Hu arma da v'solik v'achol psochem b'Yerushalayim. There was an armoy, a non-Jew. He used to go every Pesach. He would make believe he was a yid. He'd put on a borzolino. He would somehow fit into the oilam. And he would eat from his psachim, b'Yerushalayim. Amar, he said, Ksiv, the pasuk says, Kol benechel yoychabai. Ksiv, kol aru lo yoychabai, v'ana, haka achilna mishuf reishuf. This gemara is a classic, by the way. He says, I know it says in the Torah that a non-Jew, an aru, is not allowed to eat from the... He says, Echvinish gemalet, I'm a non-Jew. He says, not only do I eat from the carbon Pesach, I eat from the shufre shufra. So the gemara says, Amalei Rehuda ben Maseir, he was telling this to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir told him, really, you eat from the shufre shufra? He said, Mika safa l'cha me'alyo. Do they give you from the alyo? They give you from the tail? Amalei lo, he says, I never got from the tail. He says, you see, the joke's on you. They probably know something, and that's why they're not giving you from the tail. He said, Kisalkas lahasam, when you go to Yerushalayim the next Pesach, emelu safli me'alyo. Tell them I won from the alyo. So Kisalfu, the next Pesach, he goes to Yerushalayim, they're bringing the carbon Pesach. Armuluhu, he told them, me'alyo safli, I want to get the alyo. Armulei, they said, alyo? L'gavaya salka. The alyo is not supposed to be eaten. The alyo was one of the emurim that was burnt on the Mizbeach. It wasn't allowed to be eaten. Amalei, they said, tell me, man amaloch hachi, who told you to ask for the alya? Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Amalei, so they said to each other. They turned around, they said, we need to discuss this offline. Said, man hai kamon. Whoa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira told him to eat the alya. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is the God of Adar. He knows what you're supposed to do with the alya. It's supposed to go on the Mizbeach. They say, you know something? This must be Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's way of telling us, do a little bit of bedikas into this person. Batku basre. So they did a little bit of research. Vashkechu darmahu. They found that he was a non-Jew. Vikatlu, and they killed him. Sholchu leidu Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So they sent Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira the following telegram. Shlom loch Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Right? Shalom uvracha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Da'at ben etzivin, you're an etzivin. But your net is spread and it's cast all the way to Yerushalayim XL. There's so much here in today's daf. We'll try in the little bit of time that we have to go through a few ha'aras. Number one. So the Gemara, we'll start with a short ha'ara, then a slightly longer ha'ara, and then if we have time, maybe we'll get into it a little bit. So the Gemara said, Arlar ba'asa baitken asachamitz. What does it mean, Arlar ba'asa baitken asachamitz? It should have just said Laila. I mean, once we proved that Ar really means Laila, so why did it just say the Laila of our ba'asa baitken asachamitz? So the Gemara said, Ki Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Dom Rabbi Shua ben Levi, lo'ilam al yoitzi adam davar meguna mipiv. Share ikim akasav shmoyne oisis, lo'yoitzi davar meguna mipiv. Tari used 8 extra letters. A B, it shouldn't say a davar meguna. Shenemar, where do you find that? It's in Parshas Noach. It's Perek Zayin, it's Pasuk Ches. Min ha-behema ha-tahira, u-min ha-behema asher einenu tahira. It could have said, min ha-behema ha-tahira, u-min ha-behema ha-tmeya. Why did it say, min ha-behema ha-tahira, min ha-behema asher einenu tahira? 8 extra letters, because the Torah didn't want to mention a davar meguna, therefore we use the word Arlar Ba'asar as opposed to using the word of Laila Arba Asar. So where exactly is this pasuk? Min ha-behema ha-tahira, u-min ha-behema asher einenu tahira. Incidentally, this Gemara, Psachim Daf Gimel Amad Aleph, is an often quoted Gemara. certainly in Musa Sfarim. So what is the source of this pasuk? So it's in Parashas Noach. The pasuk says, "Vayavay Noach uvanov v'ishtoy uneshevanov itay alateva mipnei amavel." Noach, his sons, his wife, his shneers, they all entered the teva. Why? Mipnei mei amavel. It started raining. Rashi says, "Af Noach mikatnei amonahaya." Right? He didn't go into the teva until he saw it start to rain. But it started raining, and they realized we have a teva. We better get in. Then the pasuk continues. Not only did Noach, his wife, his boys, and his and their wives enter the teva. Min abehema tahira, umin abehema she'enenu tahira, umin ha'oy v'chol asheroy mesol adam. Shnayim, shnayim. Everybody entered the teva. The marsha, right here on this Gemara, brings a kasha from the Cheskuni, one of the Rishayim. He said that if you look a few psukim earlier, the Torah says, "Vayomer Hashem l'Noach." Hashem told Noach, "Boy ata v'chol beischa l'teva, ki oischa reisi tzadik l'fane b'dar hazeh." I want you to enter the teva. And then he said, not just you, but kol ha-behema ha-tahira, all the behemas ha-tahiras, tikach l'cha shiv v'shiv, you take seven, ish v'ishtai, umen ha-behema sh'loi tahira, and from the behemas that are not tahir, hish nayim, ish v'ishtai, you should only take two. This is Perek Zayin, Pasuk Beis. Our Gemara brought as a makar that you will willing to use extra letters to be careful with our speech. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Ches. Min abehema tahira, u min abehema asher einena tahira. Should have just said, min abehema tmei, asher einena tahira. So you see, there's an idea of Lashon Nekiyah. Six psukim earlier. Mikol abehema hatahira, tikal chashiv eshova ish veishtoi, u min abehema asher loy tahira. It's the same pasuk. It doesn't say menabehema tumei or shnayim. Menabehema shaloi tahira. So Frank, the Cheskuni, the Marsha brings the kasha right here in the Chiddushei Agadas. The why did the Gemara, why did Rabbi Shulman Levi bring as his source Parshas Noach, Perek Zayin pasuk Ches? He should have brought Perek Zayin pasuk Beis. You bring the earlier pasuk. Why are you bringing the later pasuk? The Torah did this twice. Ike makasiv, not one time, two times. So why did Rabbi Shulman Levi bring the second pasuk? He should have brought the first teretz. The Marsha says a teretz. And the truth is, if you look around in the Mefarshe Chumash and in the Ein Yaakov and the Mefarshe Ein Yaakov, there's many different terutzim that are given. But I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim from David Yoel Weisschlita, he brings a beautiful teretz in the name of Rav Pinchas Karetzer, the Heilige Rebbe, Rav Pinchas Karetzer, little chassidus. To start a masechta. So he said that what's the pshat? Why didn't the Torah bring the raya from the first pasuk? Why did it bring it from the second pasuk? He said, because look at the two psukim. The first pasuk is Vayoyim Hashem l'Noach. Hashem is talking to Noach. And he told Noach what Noach should do. Boy at the v'chol beis chalatei. Mikol abeim atahoyra tikil chashiv v'shiv. Umin abeim ashaloy tahoyra hi shnayim. This is the tzivoy. This is Hashem telling Noach what Noach should do. Pasuk Zaches is referring to what Noach actually did. Vayavay Noach uban of ishtay uneshev anavitay. Min abehema tahira, min abehema she'enena tahira. The first pasuk is describing Hashem commanding Noach what to do. Vayoymer Hashem leNoach. The second pasuk is Vayavay Noach uban of ishtay. Said Rav Pinchas Karetzer that from the fact that when the Eibishter told Noach what to do, he didn't simply say bring two of the animals that are tameh. But rather he said, bring two from the animals that are loy tahira. That's not a raya that ike makos of shmoina oisis v'loy hoitzei davar meguna bipiv. The raya is from what the part of the parasha that describes what Noach actually did. He said, why? He said, pshat based on a rashi in parashas vayera. Vayi achar advarim eilav alakim nises avram. Vayoymer eilav avram. Vayoymer hineni. Vayoymer. Hashem told Avram, kachnos binchos yitchidcha asher ahavto as yitzchak. Velech lecho al eretz amayriya. So Hashem turns to Avram and he says, kachno, please, as bincha your son, as yitchidcha asher ahavto as yitzchak. Frek teilig a rashi, why didn't Hashem simply tell Avram Avinu, Kach no es Yitzchak. V'lama loy gila loy mitchila. Why didn't you just tell him right away? So Rashi says, number one, shleil la'arvavoy pislein v'tischtein. He was afraid that if Hashem would tell Avram, take Yitzchak and bring him as a carbon oiler, Avram Avinu would have literally, who knows what would have happened. It could be Avram Avinu would have cardiac arrest. That's what he was afraid of. So he had to break it into him very, very slowly. Ukidei, but Rashi continues, there was another reason. L'chaviv olav es ha-mitzvah, v'litei lo yischar al kol dibu v'diva. He wanted to give him schar al kol dibu v'diva. So Pinchas Karetzer said that you see that when the Eibishter commands a person to do something, sometimes the tzivoy is going to be a little long-winded. You know why? L'itein schar al kol dibur v'dibur. It's like this, for every dibur you're gonna get tzchar. Lech lecha, me'artzecha, u'mimoladetcha, v'beisavicha l'aretz asher arecha, say chazal, litin tzchar al kol dibur v'dibur. When the Eibishter is mitzavet a person to do something, sometimes he speaks in a more long-winded way. So the Pinchas Karetz said that there was no raya from the fact of ayoymer Hashem l'noyach, mikol abeim ha'tohira tikal chashiva shiva, u'mirabeim ha'shaloy tohira shiit, shnayim shnayim. Because it's pasha why the Torah spoke b'losh and katzor. You know why there's extra letters? Not because of the sensitivity of Tmei Adahira, because Litein Tzchara called Dibur V'Dibur. Hashem wanted to give Noyach the maximum amount of Tzchar. So Litein Tzchara called Dibur V'Dibur, he was Mayrach a little bit. But the next pasuk, Vayovei Noyach Uvanav Eshvishtai, now we're not talking about the Tzivay anymore. Now we're talking Lamaisa. Noyach walked in. So why did the Torah have to say, Min Abehema Tahira, Umin Abehema Asher Inenu Tahira? Oh, this is already a different story. Here is nothing to do with Litein Tzchara called Dibur V'Dibur. So this is the Raya Ike Makasav for Loyhoitzi Dover Meguna Bipiv. I'm skipping to the last rate bite. That is, so the Gemara at the very, very end of the daf told a story. The Gemara told a story with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. There was a person, a non-Jew, that came to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and he told him, he said that I fool the Yidden every year on Pesach. He says, I go to Yerushalayim, I eat from the Korban Pesach, I'm an Oral, I'm a Ben Necher, and I know I'm really not supposed to eat it. They give me Shufra Shufra. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, really, they give you from the Shufra Shufra? They even give you from the tail? Because I never got it. So next time, go tell them that you want it from the tail. He said, from the tail? What do you mean? The tail is supposed to go on the Mizbech. And they realized that something must be up. They did a little bit of Bedikas. They found that it was Armoy. They went ahead and they killed him. This Gemara is a classic. The Tosfos on the side of this Gemara is even more classic. Tosfos over here asks a very famous kasha. He says, I understand. It sounds like Yehuda ben Beseira wasn't in Yerushalayim when this all happened. Right? Where was Yehuda ben Beseira? He was in Netzivan. That's what they told him. At ben Netzivan, umtsudas chaprusa b'Yerushalayim. So, Freik, Tosfos kasha, why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira not in Yerushalayim? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is in Netzivan. And this whole story is happening. And this is all happening on Pesach. So they told him that, oh, you see, at ben Netzivan, tzudas chaprusa b'Yerushalayim. Oh, but Freik Tosfos, how come Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira wasn't in Yerushalayim? So Tosfos says, yesh loimar, shelo yehayu lo karka. Could be he didn't own any real estate. He didn't own any property. So what? The Gemara says, Psochem Davches, this is coming up later in the week, that if a person does not own any property, his potter from being Oyler Rego. And maybe because he didn't own any karkas, he didn't have the mitzvah to be Oyler Rego. So if he didn't have the mitzvah to be Oyler Rego, it's for that reason that he wasn't Oyler Rego. Oy, Taisva says, maybe Zokin Hoya, maybe he was a Zokin, he was very old. Sheni Yochel, Halach Beraglov, he couldn't be Oyler Rego. But Taisva says, I have another problem. Someone that doesn't own karka is potter from the mitzvah being oil regal. Granted. But there was another mitzvah. This was Pesach. Pesach, you have to bring the carbon Pesach. How come he didn't go to bring the carbon Pesach? I mean, he had it been Sukkis, had it been Shavuos, all there is a mitzvah to be oil regal. So you'll tell me, he didn't own any karka. So that's why he didn't go. But it was Pesach. He had a mitzvah to bring the carbon Pesach. Can you imagine? It's Pesach. I mean, it's Pesach. We're all going to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, right? You're going, you're not going. Sometimes, maybe, whatever. If you're bringing carbonus, it's a different conversation. So he had to bring a carbon Pesach. So Lechura, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira go to Yerushalayim simply to bring the Korban Pesach? So it says, Tosfos Achidish Nifla. It could be that just like the Gemara says that someone that doesn't have karka is potter from being Oyler Regel, could be someone that doesn't have karka is potter from bringing the Korban Pesach as well. The Kama Kulmas and Nishtabru. There were many pens, many feathers that were broken by Gedolei Achronim trying to say, raid and explain this Chiddush of Tosfos, that Tosfos says that someone that doesn't own any property did not have to bring the Korban Pesach. But all that raid, much of which we've spoken about in the past, we're going to save for another day. Incidentally, we spoke a lot about this Tosfos, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. So, Be'ezras Hashem, just a little sneak preview, there's going to be a major update coming to the app in the next few weeks, which is going to start linking related raid bites to any particular daf. So hopefully, Be'ezras Hashem, on Psachim Daf Gimel, you'll have access on the homepage to that raid bite in Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, where we spoke out some intense lumdus and some intense raid as it relates to this Tosfos. But enough of the infomercial. We return to our regular program. And that is that Tosfos over here says that why wasn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira in Yerushalayim? Wasn't there a mitzvah to be Oyler Regel? Wasn't there a mitzvah to bring the Korban Pesach? The Teretz says maybe Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira didn't own any karka. And because Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira didn't own any karka, so he was potter from the mitzvah of being Oyler Regel. Not only was he potter from the mitzvah of being Oyler Regel, he was potter from being in the Korban Pesach. So what's this idea that someone that doesn't own karka doesn't have a mitzvah to be Oyler Regel? What's Pashup Shah? Where does it come from? It's learned out from a pasuk. The pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa, "Shalish pamim bashani yirah kol schorcha es pnei ha'odei Hashem Elokei Yisrael ki oyrish goyim mipanecha ve'rchafti es gvulcha." Here's the punchline: "V'lo yachmoid ish es artzucha ba'aloyscha le'irah es pnei Hashem Elokecha shalish pamim bashana." The Torah gives a haftacha. The Torah says, "Imagine all the Jews at one time make aliyah le'regel temporarily. They're going to Yerushalayim. Who's gonna take care of a person's possessions, his property, everything that he owns? Who's going to watch it? It's a problem." The Torah gave avtocha. The Torah said, "You're going to be oil regal. You worried about vastutzach and shti? Don't worry. It's a promise, a guarantee. No one's going to take your possessions. You have nothing to worry about. Says the Gemara Pesachim Daf Ches. This Tanai of Olayach Medishas Artzacha was ma'akev in the mitzvah to be Oyle Rego. If a person owns karka, so the Havtacha of Olayach Medishas Artzacha is in play. But if a person doesn't have anything, so there's no Olayach Medishas Artzacha, Ba Loyzcha Loros is Pnei Hashem Alekecha. So from the fact that the Torah said that when you're going to be Oyle Rego of Olayach Medishas Artzacha, so what do you see from there? You see that the idea of Olayach Medishas Artzacha is part and parcel of the mitzvah to be oil regal. Oh, it's part and part of the mitzvah to be oil regal. So only someone that has karka, someone to whom this is a relevant haftacha, he has a mitzvah to be oil regal. But for someone that not, he's not going to have a mitzvah to be oil regal. And the truth is, it's still a little bit tzarech beer. Because, hey, it's very nice. The Torah says, that just means, if you have karka, no worries. It means that karka is so ma'akev in the mitzvah of Oyle Regel, that if you don't have karki, you can't even be mekayim the mitzvah of Oyle Regel, right? It's tzarech beer. Eino yoymer ela dershuni. At the end of the day, I understand there's a haftacha, and if you don't have karka, the haftacha, okay, so the haftacha is NA. It's not applicable. It knocks out the whole Oyle. You can't be Oyle Regel if you're not going to have the haftacha of Olayach Medishas Artzacha. So I was thinking, maybe to say a pshat al derech hadrosh, based on a vart that I saw in Rav Meilech Biederman's Haggadah, in the name of Rav Shloime Zalman Arbach. The Gemara says in Masechtas Chagiga Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, you mentioned this Gemara yesterday. Darash Rava, Maidich Siv, Mayofu Pa'amayich Bana Olim Bas Nodiv. Says the Gemara, you know what this pasuk is referring to? Kamo Noim Ragleim Shal Yisrael B'Shasha Olim L'Rega. It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. And the pasuk is describing the beauty, the shenkait, of the feet of the Yidin at the time that they were oil rega. Bas Nadiv is referring to Bitei Shel Avram Avinu Shenikra Nadiv Shenemar Nadivei Amim Nesafu Amalekei Avram. And why was Avram Avinu called Nadiv? Shal Yitchilu Legerim. But this is a pasuk that's describing the scene of the Yidden being oil rega. Maidich Siv Mayofu Pamayich Banaolim Bas Nadiv Kama Noim Ragleim Shal Yisrael B'Shasha Oilim Lerega. So Rav Shlomo Zalman asked a bombakasha. When the Yidden were Oyler Regel, the Yidden walked into the Beis HaMikdash. Yerah kol schorchas pnei ha'adayin. You walked into the Beis HaMikdash. The halach is you weren't allowed to wear shoes. Right? You had to be barefoot. You weren't allowed to wear shoes in the Harabayas. Right? You had to leave your rentzel, your shtekin, everything had to be left outside. You weren't allowed to walk into the Harabayas wearing a pair of shoes. So Frank of Shlomo Zalman, mayofu pa'amayich ban'olim? Shoes. How could we talk about Oyle Regel? When the Yidden were Oyle Regel, they weren't wearing shoes. So how could the Mayofu Pamayich Bana'olim be referring to that moment when the Yidden were being Oyle Regel? Come in Noim Ragleim Shal Yisrael B'Shosh Oylem L'Regel. He said when the Yidden were being Oyle Regel, they weren't wearing shoes. So what's the Kam in Noim? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said an unreal machshava. He said, what was the beauty of the Yidden when they were Oyle Regel? So he asked somebody, he said, it was a gorgeous scene, right? Describe the scene. Yidden are walking in the Azor and they see the Kayhanim. And this is unreal. They can't Kayhanim, Bavidasim, Levim, Bashirim, of Zimram. It's incredible. This Karbonis, you see, it's gorgeous, right? That's the scene. That's what you're going to think of. So Shlomo Zalman would say, yeah, that's a beautiful scene. Ma Yofu, it's beautiful. Kamin Noyim Ragleim. He said, but there was a nicer scene. You know what that was? He said, picture the Yid who starts his trek, his journey, his little odyssey. His voyage. He's making his way up to Yerushalayim to be Oyle Regel. He says, think about it. He just left everything home. He has a house. He has whatever he has going on. He left it behind, and he's just going to be away now for the next few weeks.
And he's hoping that it's going to play out. Now, the Torah says, but let's be honest, it's a big nesayin to just leave everything and assume that none of your neighbors, no one's going to go and take anything away from you. He says, you know how hard that must have been? He said, you know how challenging that must have been? He said, just picture the yid who just walked out of his house. He leaves everything. He double locks. But at the same time, he has no idea if when he comes home in a few weeks, he's going to find anything still standing. And he makes his way to Be'oil Regal. And he says, as he's walking, it's a klap to Mabissel Mer, and who knows what's going up and up. He's working on himself. It says in the Torah, and he's going through this nesoyan, this internal conflict that he has. And he's praying and he's hoping, he's working on his amun, he's learning chayvus avav shar betochen, he's doing everything right. But at the same time, deep down, said Reb Shlomo Zalman, he said, when this person arrived to the Beis HaMikdash, and he walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and he saw the Shechina, the Kayhana, Babidasam, and the Levim, Bashirim, and Vizirim, he said, at that point, he had no worries anymore. He said, everything was so clear. It was not shaykh. Wow. He said, this is amazing. It was Nismala Kalabayas Kulayar. He said, at that point, he had no Nisayin anymore. At that point, he said, it was easy. Because what was the mitzvah to be Eilu Regal? It was coming together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the idea of being Eilu Regal. Once you're there with Hashem, see, at that point, it was easy. You know, Rabbi Bienenfeld showed me in the end of Masechtas Erevin, the Gemara said, Michal Bashol used to put on tefillin. Right? We spoke a lot about that, you think? But the Gemara also said that Ishto Yishol Yoyna, she was Oyla Regal. See, he showed me from the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai said, why was it Ishto Yishol Yoyna that was Oyla Regal? Ishto Yishol Yoyna, sounds like women were not Oyla Regal sometimes. But Ishto Yishol Yoyna was Oyla Regal. Why Ishto Yishol Yoyna? He says, the reason it was Ishto Yishol Yoyna is because Yoyna tried running away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She tried running. He tried running away. He couldn't run away. That was what Yoyna do. He ended up in a fish. Why? He tried running away from Ishtei Shal Yoyna. Understood. You can't run away from the Eibishter. To the contrary, Medav gained to the Eibishter, and that's why she was Eilu Regal. Because that's what the mitzvah of being Eilu Regal was. Once the Yidin walked into the Azara, it was Yerok called Schurcha. At that point, it was a different level. At that point, you had nothing to worry about. That was nice. It was nice, but it wasn't such a kunz. Wasn't such a chiddush. You know what the chiddush was? When the Yidden were on their way to being Eilu Regal, the Vilayach Medish as Arzacha, for them to be able to really believe that, internalize that, and not let it get to them exactly what they're leaving behind, that's what the challenge was. Said Reb Shlomo Zalman, you know what the Eibishter likes more? You know what's a bigger nisayan? You know what's a bigger kunz? Not when you walk into the Azara. When you walk into the Azara, yeah, that's beautiful. But it was Mayafu Pamayich Bana'olim Basnodiv. The real Mayafu of the Yidden being Eilu Regal was when they were wearing shoes. Not when they were in the Azara barefoot already, in the place of Kedusha, because it's Admas Kodesh, and you're by the snare, and as a result, you have to take your shoes off. No, the real Mayafu was when they were on their way to be Eilu Regal. Kamenoyim Ragleim Shal Yisrael B'shasha Olam the Regal. That's what the emphasis is. The emphasis is on the Nesoyin, when it's hard, when it's not easy. Right, when you climb the mountain, at that point it's a whole different deal. Right, when you're celebrating a Siyam and everything is not Shayach, yeah, that's beautiful. But you know what the real beauty is? You know what the real Mayafu Pamayich Bana Olam Bas Nadav is? The real Kamenoyim is day in, day out. When you're harving on another Gemara and another Gemara, and it's not easy, and you're tired, and it's hard, and the rate is too long, whatever. That's the real Kamenoyim Reklayim Shal Yisrael. That's the real Mayafu Pamayich Bana Olam Bas Nadav. This is so critical. This is so critical to the mitzvah of being Eilu Regal that it could be a person that didn't own karka. He couldn't be Mekayim the Mayafu Pamayich Bana Olam Bas Nadav. He's potter from being Eilu Regal. Because this was the real Kamenam Raglem Shay Yisrael B'Shasha Imam Regal. A person who wasn't leaving anything behind, so he didn't have to overcome the Nesoyin of Alayach Medish Azartzacha. You don't have to overcome the Nesoyin of Alayach Medish Azartzacha. So you don't have the Mayafu Pamayich Ban Olam Bas Nadiv. You don't have the Kamenam Raglem Shay Yisrael B'Shasha Imam Regal. Again, Al Derech Hadrush. Maybe that's why you're also going to be potter from the mitzvah of Eilu Regal.